endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the message this morning. I have a new microphone today, and I'm just so excited. It's funny how such things bring me joy in my life. But thank you to Chad Maria for sending it to me. I really appreciate it. You may not realize this, but I've been trying to wrap up this current series on the authority of Christ for weeks now, probably months. But I can't get away from it. As you know, I want to do a short series on creation, and I still plan on it. I mean, that's the plan as soon as God moves me away from this current theme, and which might be by the end of the day. I don't know. Now, I hope that many of you are not going to be disappointed at the creation series. It is important. I believe it's vitally important that we understand what the Word of God says about creation. And I believe that we've got to defend the Word of God at any cost. And I also believe that what the Bible teaches concerning creation, including the shape of the world, the sun, the moon, the stars, etc., which is not what most of the, quote, scientists teach. In fact, in almost every way, it is the exact opposite of what most, quote, scientists teach. And I believe, quote, science, which the Bible warns us against, science falsely so-called, that which we need to identify and be wary of, but most of what the world calls, quote, science today uses science against the Word of God. And it is for the purpose of making people doubt the truthfulness and reliability of the Word of God. And if an individual doubts the truthfulness and reliability of the Word of God concerning anything that's found in the Bible, then that opens the door to ultimately denying the very existence of God. And as I've tried to explain before, who has the most to benefit from the people's denial of the existence of God? This is not difficult. It's man's little g, quote, governments, and those who make money from it have the most to benefit from the people's refusal to believe in the existence of God. And why? Because the God of the Bible spent hundreds of years revealing himself to mankind through Old Covenant Israel, where over and over and over he said, as plainly as can be said, you shall obey my laws, my commandments, my statutes, my judgments, my ordinances. You shall not obey the laws, statutes, commandments, ordinances, etc. of the heathen. And the heathen is defined as anyone who does not adhere to exclusively to the laws, commandments, statutes, ordinances, judgments of God. And again, what are laws, statutes, judgments, ordinances, etc.? And that too is very simple. Whether they come from God, the only true source of law, statutes, judgments, ordinances, or whether they come from mere men, quote, laws, statutes, judgments, ordinances, etc., are definitions of good and evil. They're definitions of right and wrong. And God, through his word, through his prophets, through his real preachers, has made it clear as can be that he and he alone is the one who defines good and evil, right and wrong. And his definitions of good and evil are what men and women, boys and girls are supposed to live by. And notice the way I said that, supposed to live by. Now, I said it that way because when it comes to religious people in the world today, most of them shriek and shrivel and revile at the concept that God has a government today. You know, had I said that God's definitions of good and evil are what men and women, boys and girls are supposed to be governed by, I mean, that would probably have been much harder to swallow for most people, but that is what should be said. When Jesus was walking here on the earth, every other word that came out of his mouth was, my kingdom, my Father's kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ. Kingdom means government. Jesus was calling people out of the kingdoms, the governments of men. And again, as we've seen in the past, what's the definition of government? Well, the word comes from the root of govern. Webster's 1828 says this about govern: to direct and control as the actions or conduct of men, either by established laws or by arbitrary will, to regulate by authority, to keep within the limits prescribed by law or sovereign will. Thus, in free states, men are governed by the Constitution and laws. In despotic states, men are governed by the edicts or commands of a monarch. Every man should govern well his own family. End quote. So the question that must be asked and answered according to this is, either by established laws. Well, whose laws is this talking about? For most people, 99.99999% of the world's population, the answer is our laws, our treaties, our statutes shall be the supreme law of the land. And I say that when that is the answer, that is not government established, or that is not government by established laws, which can only refer to God's laws, but instead it is by arbitrary will, such as those in what Webster calls despotic states. This week, it became national news that North Carolina, in all their brilliance, has made it, quote, against the law to wear a mask in public. Hey, listen to this. The link is in the notes. NC Senate approves bill making it a crime to wear a mask in public. Proponents say police and prosecutors will respect health concerns, use, quote, discretion in enforcement. Right off the bat, the police will use discretion. Well, that's synonymous with arbitrary. According to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, one of the definitions of arbitrary is based on or subject to individual judgment or preference. In this article, there's a photo of someone sitting in an airport, and the caption beneath the photo says, an airline passenger waiting for his flight looks at his phone while wearing a protective face mask. Legislation making its way through the North Carolina legislature would make mask wearing in public illegal. Then the article begins. The North Carolina Senate approved an amended version of House Bill 237 on Wednesday evening that would prohibit the wearing of masks in public. The controversial bill, which would also increase criminal penalties for those who commit crimes while wearing a mask in public, comes in the wake of protests that have erupted on college campuses across the country in response to the Israel-Hamas conflict. If it becomes law, the bill will also create a new offense for blocking traffic, a tactic used in some recent protests. The votes were cast 30 to 15 along party lines, and it now heads back to the House for concurrence. Senator Buck Newton, a Republican, of course, and then it says Green, Wayne, and Wilson, who sponsored the Senate committee substitute for the bill, said it aims to reinstate a law that existed before the COVID-19 pandemic. The sentence, in other words, we're going back now. We did this, Well, that didn't work. We're going back. Well, that didn't work. We're going to go here. Well, that didn't work. We'll go back here. Continuing, the Senate rejected three amendments to the bill proposed by Wake County Democratic senators, and it names their names, not important. Amendments offered by Batch and Grafstein would have reinstated a health reason exemption and allowed mask wearing unless the wearer was using the mask for criminal purposes. Batch said, as someone who was immunocompromised during medical treatment, she opposes any provision that makes mask wearing more difficult for people with health concerns. We're now trying to turn back time and ignore science and allow individuals who want to protect themselves or to protect their loved ones from wearing a mask, said Batch. We talk a lot about freedoms in this chamber. I hear it all the time. I should have the freedom. My children should have the freedom. And my husband should have the freedom to wear a mask in order to protect and save my life without fear of being arrested and charged with a class one misdemeanor, which is exactly what this bill would do. Oh, my word, what idiots. There seems to be a fundamental misunderstanding of what this bill does and how the law operates, and it's no wonder that so many folks are scared, said Newton, questioning the motivations of those opposed to the bill. I think some of us are wondering what the real motivations are of folks on the other side of the house scaring the bejesus, whatever in the world that is, out of everybody and making them feel like if they have a need at times to wear masks because they're immunocompromised somehow, they're going to get arrested. Laws dating back to the 1950s that were enacted, at least in part, as responses to groups like the Ku Klux Klan, prohibit wearing a mask in public in North Carolina with exceptions. Those exceptions were expanded during the COVID-19 pandemic to include people wearing masks for health reasons. Newton's bill would remove that specific exception. Newton said a Senate committee investigation found no documented arrests or prosecutions for wearing masks solely for health reasons under the previous law. What a shocker. Senate Democratic leader Dan Blue of Wake County expressed concern that law enforcement could use the law as a pretext to pull over drivers. If you got the mask on and it's against the law to be wearing a mask, you created probable cause for any police officer to stop you, Blue said. Well, what difference does that make? They have probable cause every time someone takes a breath. Advocates and and that was my commentary. Advocates and organizations including Disability Rights North Carolina, Emancipate North Carolina, and the ACLU of North Carolina spoke out against the bill at a Tuesday committee hearing, criticizing both the mask ban and provisions that target protesters. This bill is part of a broader attack on democracy we are seeing at the state legislature. While lawmakers who support these attacks on the right to protest are also leading efforts to make it harder to vote and to participate in the legislative process, said Elizabeth Barber, the policy director of the ACLU of North Carolina. In a statement released Tuesday, the North Carolina NAACP decried the measure as, quote, a dangerous bill that threatens the fundamental right to protest in North Carolina, end quote. This legislation seeks to impose severe penalties on protesters, particularly targeting those who block traffic or wear masks, the statement read. By criminalizing these protest tactics, the bill aims to silence marginalized communities and stifle legitimate expressions of dissent. Well, they do plenty of that now anyway. Okay, that's the end of that article. Any idiot should know how stupid this is. Tell someone they can't wear a mask if they want to. How ridiculously stupid for these, quote, lawmakers to even attempt to make a, quote, law concerning wearing a mask. Okay, there's no possible way they can know all the results of their idiotic, quote, law. And, of course, because we know how stupid these people are, I mean, after I read this insanity, I did another search online for other idiotic acts that have come out of North Carolina. But don't understand me now. I said North Carolina, but the reality is just fill in the blank of any of their, quote, states, and not just in the U.S., but everywhere across God's world that men have hijacked for themselves in rebellion to the God of creation. So I did another North Carolina search after hearing about their ban on masks, And of course, I mean, I knew this before I even searched, not because I've got some extrasensory perception, but because when you understand the authority of Christ, the government of God versus the little g, quote, governments of men, it's so easy to see what they do. Now, we just read an article with the headline, NC Senate approves bill making it a crime to wear a mask in public. Now, listen to this headline from the New York Post, and the link is also in the notes. A North Carolina man, this is from 2022. A North Carolina man was thrown in the slammer for 24 hours after refusing a lefty judge's order to wear a mask in court, despite no such local mandates in place. I never thought I would show up to jury duty and end up behind bars, Gregory Hahn told Fox News Tucker Carlson Tonight. Hahn, a 47-year-old U.S. Navy veteran and single father, was among 98 jury candidates called to Harnett County Court Monday who showed up not wearing a mask. The courthouse didn't have a mask mandate, but Judge Charles Gilchrist, an appointee of former Democratic Governor Bev Perdue, ordered everyone in his courtroom to wear one. When Hahn refused, the judge had him arrested and sent to jail for contempt of court. It was the worst 24 hours of my life. I was refused to make a phone call to my minor child who is home, he told Carlson, end quote. So, just a couple years ago in North Carolina, they were throwing people in jail for not wearing a mask. Now, they're going to throw people in jail for wearing a mask. James 1:8 says that double-minded men and women are unstable in all their ways. I don't understand why more people do not see these types of things and wake up and look for something different. The kingdom, government of God, of Christ, of heaven, is not pie in the sky. It is the only God-ordained government in existence in the new world in which we live. It is the only God-ordained government that men are allowed to be citizens of, and it has laws that began at creation and are the same today as they were then. They never change. There's no need for them to ever change because they are absolutely perfect. When men are citizens of the little g, quote, governments of men, they're living in the world without hope, is what the Bible says. There's no dual citizenship with God. We're either in the commonwealth of Israel or we're in the world. And friendship with the world is enmity with God. Why men and women continue to choose the world and all of its utter nonsense above the government of God is just such a mystery to me. If a man believes it's okay to be governed by the definitions of right and wrong, good and evil, from unstable, double-minded men and women, it's time, it's past time to change governments, to change our way of thinking, which ultimately will change the way we live. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 for just a minute this morning, and let's read beginning in verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking of them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, W-R-E-S-T, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. We're in the shape we're in today because so very few people understand the scriptures. Most people who claim Jesus Christ have gotten their Bible knowledge from that monster called, quote, church. Last week I mentioned about Andy Stanley preaching that Christians are to forget the, quote, Old Testament. I found the quote. I want you to listen to this for just a minute.
This is liberating. As one close friend of mine said, who's in her 60s, she said, I finally understand. And it's disturbing, perhaps, for people like me, like you, who received our first Bibles with no instructions. But I tell you who it's liberating for. It's liberating for men and women who are drawn to to the simple message that God loves you so much, He sent His Son to pave the way to a relationship with you. It's appealing and it's liberating for people who need and understand grace, who need and understand forgiveness. And it's liberating for people who find it virtually impossible to embrace the dynamic, the worldview, and the value system depicted in the story of ancient Israel. And Peter, who was on both sides, James, who was on both sides, the Apostle Paul, oh my gosh, he was killing Christians before he became one. These men are right at the epicenter. They were on both sides of the equation. Here's what they say to you and to me as a Christian. Peter, James, Paul, elected to unhitch the Christian faith from their Jewish scriptures. And my friends, we must as well. Many have lost faith because of something about the Bible or in the Bible, the Old Testament in particular. Once they can no longer accept all the historicity of the Old Testament, once they couldn't go along with all the miracles, once somebody poked a hole in the Genesis creation, you know, myth.
When I was a little kid, one day I said, gosh, in front of my dad, which was kind of strange because I never used that word before that one time. But I said that word to my dad once, and I thought I was going to get the beating of my life. I mean, you know, it is just another word for God. I believe it's taking God's name in vain. One of the ways you take God's name in vain might not be to that extent, but it's at the very least disrespectful. Andy Stanley said that he got his first Bible, quote, with no instruction. That's an interesting thing to say, considering his dad was one of the most revered, quote, churchmen of the 1900s and the 2000s until he died. Okay, so we don't need the, quote, Old Testament? And did you catch what he said that caused people to doubt the Bible? Once the Genesis creation myth has holes punched in it? So when people get Bible understanding from liars such as this, it makes 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 come alive even more. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Peter was warning people not to be led away from the foundations of their scriptures. And friends, at that time, all they had was their, quote, Old Testament scriptures. The last 27 books were not even compiled yet. And yet here we've got modern day preachers telling everybody to unhitch themselves from the Old Testament. We learn right from wrong. We learn good versus evil from the first 39 or so books that most people call the, quote, Old Testament. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 for just a minute. And let's begin with verse 1, please. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I'd stop right here for just a minute. This is hugely important in my opinion. When you hear me talk about the law of God, originating from the first books of the Bible, commonly referred to as the, quote, Old Testament, I want you to understand something very clearly. It's my opinion. It's my understanding. This is what I believe after more than 50 years of Bible study. The creation account the record of Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the judges, the kings, the prophets. Okay, there is a lot in there that is the letter of the law. And a lot of that letter of the law does not apply today. Okay, the ceremonial law that God gave Moses, every single bit of that law is gone. It's not for today. But does that mean that it has lost its value? Okay, that it should not be taught today? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that it should not be taught today. Why? Because there were eternal, everlasting, generation crossing, testament crossing, overlapping might be a better word. Those ceremonial laws had principles that teach us the will of God, the mind of God. We don't keep the letter of those laws, but we certainly keep the spirit of those laws. The letter kills. For instance, teaching physical water application to the flesh in the new covenant world, that kills, just the same as teaching blood sacrifices would kill. Physical water kills too. But the physical waters of the old covenant, though fulfilled, done away with, condemned even, were there to point believers to the living waters found in the Messiah King Jesus Christ. The letter, the physical waters of the old, done, finished, passed away. But the eternal, everlasting, spiritual waters of Jesus Christ flowing out from the throne of God and of the Lamb are fully in place today. The letter, the physical, is death, but the spiritual is life. Without the understanding of what the physical waters of the old covenant were, the letter of the law, we would never be able to understand the life-giving spirit of the new covenant world. Verse 7, now watch, this is very important. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Okay? The law that God gave Moses was, in its time, so glorious that the children of Israel could not look at the face of Moses for an extended period of time. Okay, we'll see what Moses did here in a few minutes, and we're going to see once again how men's little g quote governments would have outlawed the word of God, the men of God, and then just the same then as they would do today. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Well, friends, I hope that brought to your mind the same thing that it brings to my mind. Paul is contrasting the physical law that God gave Moses, things of a physical nature, but with great spiritual implication because they pointed to the future New Testament. This language that Paul is using is the same type of language that John the Washer used. I indeed wash you with the physical waters of repentance according to the law God gave Moses, but the one coming after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch, he is going to wash you with something totally different than what I'm washing you with. John said Jesus' washing is going to be far greater than what he was doing. Paul said that what Moses had been doing was glorious, but that glory was going to be done away with, and what was coming was going to exceed that righteousness and glory. The law that God gave Moses, even the ceremonies, were glorious because they had spiritual implications that pointed to the new covenant. The ceremonial laws ended, but the principles that were established continue on forever. It's impossible to understand the new covenant world in which we live if we do not have a foundation built upon the Genesis account of creation, the principles found in the story of Noah, the faith, the understanding of God and his laws that Abraham had, and all the many principles that we learn from the rest of those writings. Yet, the vast majority of the quote church world, though not nearly as openly defiant as Andy Stanley, has still accomplished basically the same end game as what Andy Stanley's preachings bring men to, because they deny the law of God. Verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Now watch. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day they remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Moses wore a mask, and Moses wearing of that mask, the principles that we see and learn from this verse, if Moses had been living in North Carolina, where it will be, quote, against the law to wear a mask, one of the most fundamental things that we should learn from the Bible would have been, quote, illegal. And I hope you understand where I'm headed here. One of the most important things to understand about the old covenant of God compared to the new covenant of God was based on Moses wearing a mask. Yet those morons in men's little g, quote, governments are such imbeciles, they don't know that their, quote, laws would have made Moses a criminal. Okay? And again, I'm not talking about wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. I'm talking about principles here. I'm talking about the fact that men are not capable of defining good and evil because they have finite minds. They do not have an infinite mind like God has. Keep your finger here. Turn to Isaiah chapter 46. And read beginning with verse 8. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God is the only one who knows the end from the beginning. When men make their own, quote, laws, it's going to end up in disaster at the worst, confusion at the best. Man does not possess the ability to know the outcomes of all the, quote, laws that they sit around and try to come up with. Not to mention the fact that there isn't a man capable of knowing what all of them are and being able to keep all of them. But God has made it easy. Just like Paul said, with plainness of speech, God has established just a handful of laws that men are to govern themselves by, and it's an easy thing to remember them. It's an easy thing to keep them. You know, I can tell you today, I have never murdered anyone. Not a single person, never done it. Thou shalt not kill is a really, really simple thing to remember. Murdering your neighbor and then pleading ignorance of the law doesn't work. And hopefully that doesn't work anywhere. The laws of God are few. They're simple, and there's no reason for anyone not to know every single one of them. But when double-minded men and women get together and decide that they know better than what God does, and they decide to define good and evil according to their own whims, disaster is coming. So again, let me just say this about what I said concerning God's laws. We were talking about the ceremonial laws done away with. The reason to remember them, though, not practice them, remember them, is because there are eternal principles that are everlasting. They carry on principally. Okay, other laws, the few, such as thou shalt not kill, murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit perjury, and just a few other laws of which we all know, those are still in place from the founding of creation, and those laws are what men are to govern themselves by in their communities. Add those to love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And there you have the recipe for success. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the few laws of God. men's millions and millions of quote laws are not only not necessary, but they are rebellion to God. They are of their father, the devil, and Christians are not to participate with those works of darkness. Finish with 1 Corinthians 3:15 now. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. You know, that's funny. Paul was saying that Moses was read even during his time. Why is that? Well, first of all, the law God gave Moses was still in effect when Paul was writing that letter. And I've proven that from Scripture so many times now. Yet people still want to fight against that. Well, okay. The fulfilled Bible prophecy is as simple as can be. Yet people are still saying today that their, quote, rapture is happening this year. Okay, so we'll see this year come and go, just like last year, just like the year before and the year before. The, quote, churchmen's dates have all come and gone, and here we are still. Verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We learn the spiritual by understanding the physical. Without understanding the law God gave Moses, we aren't going to have the veil, the thing that keeps us in darkness, removed. We learn the definitions of good and evil, right and wrong, from the writings found in the first books of the Bible, what we commonly refer to as, quote, the Old Testament. When you take away that foundation, people will then, as Peter said, wrestle the Scriptures to their own destruction. Take away the foundation of the Word of God, and who benefits the most? Men's little g, quote, governments, and the people who profit the most from the establishment of men's little g, quote, governments. Because what you're doing is you're removing the most basic understanding of all, that God and God alone is to be the lawmaker. When you take that away, what happens? Men claim the authority to make their own, quote, laws. And then they claim the power to enforce those, quote, laws, those definitions of good and evil, right and wrong, on other people. And Christians are to stand against this. Christians are supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was executed by the state because he would not yield his or his father's exclusive authority to the state, causing people to doubt the existence of God, causing people to doubt the Word of God, is for the purpose of helping people deny that God has laws, that he is the only one who is supposed to make laws, paving the way then for men to sit around and create and invent whatever pops up in their mind. Laws and laws, statutes and statutes, ordinances and ordinances, and then force people to obey those definitions. Jesus Christ said among you, it shall not be so. That's what the world does. That's the way of the world. But Jesus said, among you, among my followers, it shall not be so. Whether the entire world follows the way of the world, and you're seemingly the only one that doesn't want to go that way, we must stay true to the teachings of Christ. And we must understand that there may be a cost involved. You know, the world does not like the fact that there are people who want to follow only Jesus Christ. When the world comes across a true follower of Jesus Christ, they'll drop everything that they're doing to punish that follower of Christ for their refusal to submit. I'm glad that Joanna got her car back this week. But, you know, not, of course, before the world got their pound of flesh. And I've heard cops use the phrase, quote, you might beat the rap, but you won't beat the ride. And when that's used in regards to their treatment of a follower of Christ, it's just despicable. You know, they arrested Abram, you know, a passenger in the car, in the back seat of a car that they pulled over for what they called a, quote, taillight infraction. And they handcuffed him and they threw him in their stinking jail, pepper sprayed his face, had him sitting naked in their stinking jail for 24 hours. Why? He was a passenger in the back seat of the car. Not that this would have mattered, but you know, I asked Abram three times, were you unkind to these people? Did you cuss at them or resist them physically? And he said no, emphatically no. And I believe him. I mean, Abram doesn't have an ear tag ID like most of the slaves in America. And for that, arrested, thrown in jail, pepper sprayed, it's ridiculous. But that's what happens when you live around a godless, quote, government that has denied Jesus Christ, denied the God of the Bible, and rebelliously, wickedly screams, our laws, our treaties, our statutes, our ordinances shall be the supreme law of the land. I simply do not understand how so many people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ just put their heads in the sand and deny and act like things like this only happen in Russia or China or Iran. Christians don't get persecuted in the U.S. The U.S. is a Christian nation. Well, it's not a Christian nation. It's a churchian nation. It's a nation that has, as the titles of the many YouTube videos, not just of Andy Stanley, but there's a lot of others out there, they have, quote, unhitched themselves from the God of Israel, the God of the Old Testament. And when you unhitch from the God of Old Covenant Israel, then you've hitched yourselves to the God of this world. Unhitching from the God of Israel is how people believe that men's little g, quote, governments of the world are okay to do the things that they do. It's how the, quote, churchmen twist and move their, quote, governments into supporting a group of people who hate Jesus Christ and deceive no one but themselves into a belief that the, quote, Jews are God's chosen people. It's unhitching from the God of creation that has brought us to where we are in the world today. It is only rehitching to the God of the Bible that's going to save the world today. And friends, whether anyone else in the world is hitched to the God of the Bible or not, each and every one of us must be determined to be hitched. Whether we have friends, whether we have allies, whether we have fellow believers, whether we're in a community or on an island, we must stay true to the Word of God. The principles contained in the Word of God, the government of Christ, the government of God, the kingdom of heaven, the Commonwealth of Israel.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.
Crucified, lay behind the stone. never knowing what I was reaching for. Never could I find any reason for. Always feeling somehow there must be more. Then there came a light, searching out my heart in the blackest night, touching me with love that I I'd scattered there, holding them for me till my heart could bear. You gave me life, you made my spirit new. Now I give all my life to you.
For the Lord has been good to at rest. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good. Be at rest. Be at rest once more, O my soul. Oh, my soul, be at rest once more, for the Lord has been good to you. Be at rest once more, for the Lord has been good to you.